Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning. We're very glad to see all of us on this very final Sunday of the year, whether you're here in the sanctuary or at the overflow. Can we just give a very big hand to Daniel and Melanie and the team for putting the service together? Thank you so much. Now, as you notice, we're trying something a bit different this morning because we are in the journey of discipling generations. And the best way to disciple generations is not simply to hear and to read, but to do something together. And that's part of the process of learning, as you heard from Emily at the mission trip. Now, can you turn to your neighbor, okay? Can you tell your neighbor, today is family talk, okay? Today is family talk. Now, what I'm going to do is to share with us for the next 20, 25 minutes or so what we believe God is doing amongst us. And then Dan and Mel are going to come back and lead us in prayer. Okay? So turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. We're going to begin at verse 1. Okay? Verse 1. Isaiah chapter 54. Now, at a count of three, I'm going to invite us to make some noise if this applies to you, okay? Now, if you and your family have gone to an overseas family trip either in November or December somewhere, okay, can you wave and make some noise? Ready? One, two, three. Okay, quite a few of us are. The rest look a bit... Okay, ready? My apologies if you didn't get a chance to go, but I trust that we have had downtime with our family, and also at the same time, you probably visited somewhere cooler and maybe even had winter wonderland. Now, according to Pastor Kai, Singapore has three seasons. It's called hot, hotter, and hottest. Now, jokes aside, when it comes to how, as a disciple-making church, as we fulfill the mission God has given to us, we also have seasons. There are seasons we work very hard together, seasons we rest, seasons we consolidate, and so on. Now, as a church family, what season are we in? Okay. Now, here's Isaiah chapter 54. I want to invite us to read together. Now, for the sake of our youths, I've put up the NIV, the New International Version. Can you read this aloud with me? Ready? One, two, go. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Enlarge your tent. We are in a season of enlarging or expansion. Now, here's a picture of a team of brothers on Zoom working very hard. They are our building team led by Elder Roger, and we are preparing to expand BPJ Center. Now, God willing, about slightly more than a year from now, in quarter one, 2026, we're going to undergo renovation, and after about 2 years, we're going to come back. And God willing, after the 2 years, we will have about 60% more space in our center. Okay, everybody say yay! Okay. Now, because some of us feel a bit squeezy on Sunday, including how we are very packed in the sanctuary. Now, at the same time, as we prepare for the expansion, we want to make sure that the extra 60% or so is not just for ourselves in terms of the services, the TNG programs, and so on. God willing, we aim to have a good 50% of the usage, especially during weekdays, for the community. Now, in time to come, we will share with you the design, how that would work, and so on. I know in the meantime, a lot of us are curious. Okay, Pastor Edmund, when we are having the renovation, do we stay here? Do we go somewhere? When we go somewhere, where do we go, etc., etc., right? Now, in good time, we would make the announcement when things are confirmed. But for now, what I'd like us to sense together is this. God is not just enlarging our physical space. He's enlarging our spiritual influence. Not just physical space, but spiritual influence. Verse 3 now gives us the reason why God called Israel to enlarge the tent. Verse 3, because You will spread to the right and to the left. Your descendants will possess nations and settle in their desolate cities. It was not simply about bringing Israel back from exile. It was how God was going to raise a people to bless and reach nations. People very different from the Jews. Now, if you recall in the book of Leviticus, we have walked through this year and heard together and studied together. Israel was called to be very different from the nations. There are things that they shouldn't be eating, certain lifestyle they should not be practicing, but in so doing, they can reach nations as a light in the darkness. And the journey of us as a center here at BBJ or as a church family across our three centers has been one by which God is leading us, expanding our reach by reaching people and blessing people very different from us. Be it different countries and cultures, such as our mission trips or our packing gifts for our migrant workers. Different races and religions, while we are doing our Bless to Bless, which is our yearly engagement with our community. Different age and social economic status, those who are elderly or those who may not be as materially blessed as we are. God is enlarging our spiritual influence. But how does God do that amongst us? Now, because of time, let me just mention two things I believe God is doing to do that. And we're going to pray together. The first, God is enlarging our spiritual influence by enlarging our compassion to host. Our compassion to host. Verse 2 again. Enlarge your tent. Question. Where were the Jews during this time? They were either still in exile in Babylon as slaves, or they were back in the land, the ancient city of Jerusalem, which is the promised land. Either way, they were in an urbanized city or setting. So why enlarge your tent? Did the biblical writer or did God make a mistake? It should be enlarge your flat, enlarge your house. Why enlarge your tent? God was bringing them back to the time of their patriarchs, their forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, the time when they were roaming because they didn't have a land of their own. They were living under tents as their mobile home. And those were the seasons and times when Abraham would at night come out of his tent and God would say to him that if you can look at the sky and count the number of stars, so shall your offspring be, and your offspring shall possess or inherit the nations. And in those days, tents are not just constructed for sleeping. The Jews used the tent for a very specific purpose. Now, there was one story in the book of Genesis in chapter 18 where Abraham was hiding under the shelter of his tent in the heat of the day to escape the heat. And something happened. He saw three people appearing. He didn't know they were angels. And this is what is recorded. Can you read this together with me? Okay, verses 2 to 5 of Genesis 18. 1, 2, go. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of their tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." That is Jewish hospitality at its best, where strangers you have never seen are treated as family. How many of us have gone to an Israel holy tour? Can I see your hands? You've gone to Israel before. You may have gone to the wilderness. You may have even heard from Bedouins, which are the Arabic people living in the desert. And true to what it is then and also now, when tents are constructed, the way it is laid out is not just for sleeping. Now, there are at least two, if not three, sections. One section is for women and children, where they're sleeping, the cooking, and even for their animals to rest and to drink. But there is one section demarcated such that men can play host to guests when they come. It's a patriarchal culture. And that is the norm. And therefore, when the tent enlarges, the space for the family not only enlarges, but so does the space for guests to come in, enlarging our compassion to host. Now, through the course of this year, you would have seen at least one Sunday where there were 11 residents from nursing home that came to join us on wheelchairs, correct? You recall? And they were hosted so well. They had such a good experience with us as we worshiped together. They are now attending our Mandarin service in the afternoon. Something happened to the staff team during our Thanksgiving. Typically, at the end of the year, we would gather together, have a program where we would thank God for His faithfulness, makan, celebrate, and then go home. But this year, the organizing team, for whatever reasons, decided to do something very different. Now, here's where we began the day. We were at nursing home at Woodlands to bring cheer to the residents, either through activity, through games, through karaoke, dancing. You can see Pastor dancing also, huh? Through singing, through just interaction, conversation. And not only were the residents blessed, I trust, we were blessed by the experience. I tell you why. Here's the confession. For some of us, including myself, this was awkward. Especially if we are introverted. We are not as natural interacting with strangers. But the minute we got the hang of it, the minute we started the activity, the minute the conversation started rolling, the minute we started hearing their story, sometimes they just need someone to hear their story or their life, it became more and more natural and things got going. There is an intergen CG. None of their leaders or DMs asked them to do this. They felt led, they felt burdened for the community residents, and they've been hosting parties for these residents that we are making connection with through our New Life Active Aging Center. And at mid-autumn was one, and then Christmas was the other. And here's their story of the experience of this CG, especially the younger ones, okay, the teens. Raynan, I was a bit nervous at first, but I was heartened to see the elderly enjoying or even singing along to the song item we put up for this celebration. I definitely enjoyed myself serving together with my CG family to make the elderly happy, and if there is any future opportunity, I'll want to do it again. Lucas, it was fun to serve with my CG, and it made me less nervous when carrying out my roles. This made me more willing to engage with the elderly as I was more at ease as compared to doing community service by myself. Chloe, it was such a joy seeing the elderly and also our CG mates enjoying themselves as we played familiar tunes. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve at this block party and be able to spread God's love to the community around us. From an adult in this CG, serving as a CG makes the time spent even more meaningful and fulfilling. We are blessed when we bless others together. On their own accord, they decided to do this. A few days ago, I was at Sungai Tengah Lodge joining some covenanters to reach out to the China migrant workers. And when I reached the venue, I was greeted by a team of covenanters. They did this on their own accord. And not only were they ushering, they were helping the migrant brothers, especially the guests and the new friends to register. They were leading worship and they were singing carols at the front. They were conducting the games. And it was a joy to see. One of them was a teenager that took her own Grab cab all the way to ST Lodge to serve as a photographer. I saw this and I was so proud of Covenanters as a spiritual family. All I did was be there, share a simple gospel message. At the end of the program, we had about 14 China workers who raised their hands, came all the way to the front to profess faith in Jesus for the very first time. Can we give thanks and praise to God? All because somebody bothered to come and tell them about Jesus. Now, here's the confession. ST Lodge has become a church plant. ST Lodge was never part of the plan by the senior team. It was because of COVID, we felt a burden to reach out to our migrant workers. Everything began to ripple from there, and this is what it has become. And here's a simple invitation I'm inviting us to do together as a church family, okay? Now, next weekend, what year will we be in? 2025, okay? So children, you have holidays for one more week, boo-hoo-hoo. Okay, after you got to go back to school. And youth service will be back at what time next week? 12? 12:45, okay? Now, we are anticipating an attendance spike, typically January, February, when there are people who don't know Jesus yet are looking for God. Okay, there are also others who may be from other churches who are visiting. And besides coming earlier and packing your seats just now, which Dan asked of us to do, can I invite all of you to be on a lookout Meaning, if you happen to see someone who looks a bit lost or may not know his or her way around and needs some help, rather than wait for the staff to do something or the SST to do something, because there may be more people than we can manage, is that can you go and say hello and ask whether any help is needed? I do that for tourists, by the way. I see them looking at their Google Map blur, don't know which way to go. I just happen to go over there to say, hello, I'm a Singaporean, do you need help? They're very happy. They appreciate someone actually asking. If we can do this together, it helps hopefully to enlarge our compassion for people. Here's what Stuart Briscoe discovered. Some need to be motivated before they are mobilized. Others need to be mobilized before they are motivated. So you hear Emily's story now that when they went to the mission trip, it's not just about them changing and blessing the people that they met. It is about them being changed. Something has happened on the inside. Be contentment, love for people very different from their own, so on and so forth. So I want to invite us to make the first move. Okay, if you see new people next Sunday. Here's the second way I believe God is enlarging our spiritual influence, not just enlarging our compassion to hosts, but secondly, therefore, enlarging our capacity to help. Enlarge your tent. How many of us have gone camping? Can I see your hands camping? Okay, quite a few. Glamping, no count, huh? Glamping is the got aircon and then some room service come to you one, okay? Camping is that you have to pitch your tent from ground up, right? And sometimes the only toilet you have is a plastic bag. Okay, that's camping. Now, if you have pitched a tent before, you have a sense of the kind of effort you need, right? Even though your tent may not be very big. Now, okay, teenagers, if you happen to want to go camping with your friends, you two about maybe three other friends, so there are four people, just nice, my tent is four-man tent, okay? That's all I have. Without you knowing, your friend actually went on Telegram to two other friends. On that day, 10 people turn up. Okay, what do you do? You either get some people to sleep without the cover, or very easy, you just go to Decathlon, right? Or buy a bigger tent and problem solved, gao tim. Except in those days, they don't have such a luxury. They were in the desert, the patriarchs, and they cannot just order online and then Lala Move appear, no? They have to take down the entire cover and add more material. Now, typically in those days, the tent cover is made of goat's hair, so that it's waterproof and they allow air to come in. You want to make a guess how heavy the cover is? Roughly about 90 to 150 kg. Roughly. So it cannot be an OMO, a one-man operation. The entire family is to be involved to take down the tent. They have to sew extra pieces on the side to increase the coverage. Then hoist the entire thing up again. And when they hoist it, they need more sticks because of the weight now. And not only more sticks, because of the weight of the tent cover, they've got to pull the ropes even tighter. I was a scout last time, so every time tent pitching, I should perspire one in order to pull it taut so that the rain droplets will just slide down. It's an entire family effort where all hands are on deck, whether we are gifted in tent making or not. We have a covenantal family here who have a story. They want to remain anonymous, so I want to respect that. So let's just call her Patricia, okay, even though that's not her real name. And this is their story, that during the school holidays, my family and I would usually be involved in special outreaches that would require us to play specific roles. Sometimes we get to try out new roles and discover new things about one another. At children Christmas event, amidst all the fun we had with the children and volunteers, we also got to share the Christmas story with the kids in creative ways. Now, children, listen to this. My boys dressed up as Mario and Luigi to meet and welcome the children at the event. We brought the community kids on a fun adventure to collect items related to Super Mario and the Christmas story. More often, our family outreaches are very integrated into our routines. We would often pray for our non-Christian relatives and friends. My husband and I serve in the China Nationals Ministry. Our boys join us for the different outreaches we've had over the years. We also seize opportunities to invite our non-Christian friends and relatives to church and other outreaches. At times, we simply invite them to have meals with us, sharing lives together. Now, here's what his 15-year-old teenage son remembers. that at a mission trip, we ran a two-day program for the local children and a night program for the youth. And during these times, each of us played our part. My mother, who had prior experience running programs overseas, the whole thing, while my father and I led worship, played the guitar and the keyboard. My younger brother assisted as a Station Games IC and befriended the children there. At a Christmas event for children from disadvantaged families, we all contributed in our own ways, taking up roles like emceeing, facilitating games, and also leading the carols. These outreaches have been very meaningful. They have helped our family grow spiritually and in our relationships with one another. I thoroughly enjoyed serving with my family, and I hope we'll have more opportunities to do so in future. All hands on deck. A few months back in September, during Step Up Sunday, you will recall I put up this QR code and invited us together to do something as a spiritual family. Now, final show of hands, how many of us you regard not just Covenant, but BPJ Center as your spiritual home? Can I see your hands? You regard BPJ as your spiritual home. Wonderful. Now, if you recall, my simple invitation and appeal to all of us is if BPJ Center, as part of our multiple centers, is your spiritual home, then can we all serve somewhere, somehow, once a month? Some people think once a month, not very frequently. Now, because we live in an exhausted world, and we ourselves can be exhausted, but once a month, I feel, is doable. Already as it is, our DMKs, our youth leaders, children leaders are serving once every 2 weeks. Our intercessors, every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m., they are praying for us. Once a month is a minimal baseline. So the question right now is not whether we are serving, but where are we serving if we regard this as our spiritual family? Once a month. You will recall also I invited you to send a text to your CGL, right? And in the text, I ask of you to text two things. Number one, thank you for leading the CG. Okay. Number two, how can I help? Okay. According to your district pastors, most, if not all, did part one. So, thankfully, your CGs are encouraged. But, not all made it to part two. I am curious why. Meaning, what is personally holding you back? Is it because you had a bad experience in your previous church and you don't want it to repeat again? Or you're simply too exhausted, you don't have the mind space nor the bandwidth to even think about this. Or for some of us, perhaps the way, the direction that the CG is heading is something you either don't resonate or you don't fully align with, and you have certain reservations. Now, if that's you, can I ask of you to do one thing before the year ends? Can you have an honest conversation with your CG leader? Why? Here's what verse 2 says again. You notice what's highlighted in bold. Can we show that? Do not hold back. Because holding back is not good for our souls. Richard Foster says that service to the soul is like exercise to the body. It keeps us spiritually fit. Holding back is also not good for your CG because there's inertia rather than movement and traction. It is also not good for your CG leader because he or she has to spend time and energy managing these things instead of leading the CG forward. So my request to us is please have the honest conversation with your CG leader and come to some conclusion or come to some agreement. Can? Because I believe God is enlarging our compassion to host, enlarging our capacity to help. Let me share one final story before then and Mel take over, if the worship team can join me too. 4 years ago when COVID hit us, I trust you know it was madness and mayhem at that point in time, more so when the vaccine wasn't ready yet. And the virus was spreading fast, more so in the foreign workers' dormitories when they're all living in close quarters. And the medical services therefore had to scramble to try and treat patients, diagnose them and all that. But the problem was this, not only was the virus spreading fast, in fact, Expo at that point in time as a health facility was filling up. They were running out of space. The problem was that these medical professionals couldn't speak the language of the workers be it Tamil, Chinese, and Bengali, and so on. And that was where the difficulty was. There was a young adult by the name of Sudesna. She graduated from medical school, and she was already helping. She and her family were already serving as translators on site when the patients would come and see doctors. But she said that at the rate that the virus was spreading, what she did, she realized, could not manage the spread and the speed of the spread. She decided to do something very different. She started a website. And in this website, her simple desire was that if I can record simple Bengali instructions or information that the medical professionals can just go to the website to access and play those audio files so that the workers can understand what they've been asked. For example, what is your name? Give me your work permit, etc., etc. But here was the challenge for Sudesna, that she had zero experience doing it, and it was 3 a.m. in the morning. In 4 hours, she recorded 50 audio files. By 11 a.m., which was 8 hours later, the site was good to go and launched. But what she did not expect was that 1 hour after the site launched, she heard the news that the site was spreading like wildfire, such that even the medical services of the SAF was using it. Other language speakers also eagerly reached out when they heard about the site. And as a result, the website was now being translated into 7 other languages, including Tamil, Hindi, Telugu, Sinhalese, Malayalam, Malay, and Mandarin. All because a young adult said, I need to do something, got into it, and the rest followed. The Bible tells us that in these last days, my friends, there is a virus that the church is fighting. It is not COVID. It is a spiritual virus called sin, where there is no vaccine. But the Church of Jesus Christ has been poised, positioned for such a time that when each of us collectively answer the call together to say, yes, Lord, and when the Lord leads us forward, we might be surprised in our journey forward together what God will do above and beyond what we even thought or expected is possible. I'm going to invite us to bow our heads for a few moments in prayer and just to have a bit of unhurried time now, just to let what we have heard sink in for a moment. In a few moments' time, we'll be led to pray. But meantime, as we come before the Lord in this space, perhaps what is one word, one phrase that kind of stood out for you as you heard from Isaiah 54 this morning? I want to invite you to just hold on to that for the time being, and we'll be led into prayer in a few moments' time. Meantime, I want to give an invitation to especially our youths and children here. Perhaps you came because your parents brought you, and you've been in this church for quite a while now, but perhaps you yourself do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. Today is the final time that we have together, or final week before you go back to your TNG programs next Sunday, and I want to give you an opportunity to believe in Jesus for yourself, for the very first time. Now, some of us may be adults, and you may be a first-time guest, or someone may have brought you and you've been here before. You would also like to believe in Jesus for the very first time. I'm going to pray a prayer on your behalf, okay? I want to invite you now to pray this after me. And if that's you, for the very first time through prayer, believed in Jesus, I want to ask of you after that to raise your hand up high. I want to acknowledge you, pray with you, before Dan and Mel come back to lead us in prayer. Now, here's how this prayer goes. Father God, I confess today I have a spiritual virus, a virus called sin, where there is no vaccine. The penalty of sin is death. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to deal with this problem. Jesus, you died in my place so that I can be saved. I call upon you and believe in you as Lord and Savior. Cleanse me with your blood. Fill and lead me by your Spirit, that through me, others would also be saved.
and restored to you. So dear friend, whether you are sitting here in the main sanctuary or at our overflow, if through that prayer you believe in Jesus for the very first time, can I just ask of you to put up your hand up high? I want to acknowledge you, okay? And later after the service, someone will come to you to have a conversation with you briefly. If that's you, can I just ask of you to put it up high, whether here in the sanctuary or at the overflow, just for a few moments. Okay, we're going to pause to do this before we pray together. Let's pray together. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that every time we open the Bible, you are speaking. And we ask, therefore, if there are guests and friends here who, Lord, are searching, we ask that what they have heard today will sink in deeper. It will grow, Lord, in their hearts until the day they call upon you. If there are those who have received Christ also at the overflow, we thank you. We ask you help them grow, help them follow you, and help others follow you as well. Thank you, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name, and we say together, Amen, Amen.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.